The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
When the Apple AirTag was launched in 2021, it quickly won a legion of fans. However, the GPS tracking devices are now being used by people for more sinister reasons. Our chief reporter, Barry White, is with me. Barry, good morning.
Hi, Pat. Good morning.
Remind us, what was the original purpose of the AirTag?
Yeah, so the AirTag was launched just 3 years ago, like you said, and there has been tens of millions of these devices sold across the globe. GPS tracking devices are now a multi-billion dollar industry. Now, the AirTag is around the same size as a 2 euro coin, and the tags are so light that they can be attached to almost anything. They cost around 30, 35 euro. And AirTags were designed to help people keep track of their own property, particularly when it's lost or stolen. So people use AirTags or similar GPS devices to keep track of their luggage, their keys, their wallets, or some people even attach these devices to their pets.
Now, all of that sounds completely above board, pretty innocent. However, the same device has now prompted a lawsuit against Apple in America. Why?
Well, Pat, this lawsuit alleges that partly due to Apple's negligence, AirTags have become the weapon of choice of stalkers and abusers because they can be covertly used to give real-time location information to track victims. So last month, a US judge in the US District Court of the Northern District of California partially denied Apple's motion to dismiss a class action lawsuit taken by 38 plaintiffs claiming that stalkers were using its AirTag devices to track them. Now, the plaintiffs alleged that Apple was warned of the risks posed by its AirTags and argued the company could be legally blamed under California law when the tracking devices are used for misconduct. So three cases were allowed to proceed from this class action, and the three plaintiffs alleged that when they were stalked, the problem with the AirTag safety features were substantial and that those safety defects caused their injuries. Now, Pat, one of the plaintiffs is Irish actress Áine O'Neill. She's originally from Dublin, but she had been living in Los Angeles for 3 years working in the film industry there. Then one day in November 2022, she got a notification on her iPhone telling her there was an AirTag in her vicinity. And Pat, I've been speaking to Áine and she told me what happened that day.
I was living over in LA. I'd been there for nearly 3 years at this point. And then one night in November 2022, I got a notification on my Apple smartphone to say that the owner of an AirTag has your location. So this is just like a random notification that comes up on your phone to let you know that like an Apple AirTag is like within your vicinity. So I just thought it was so innocent at first. I assumed maybe I took one of the girls' like wallets or makeup bags or had something on me that was belonging to someone else that had an Apple AirTag, because a lot of people in America use them. So I just assumed maybe I had someone else's property. And then I went looking for it in my bag, couldn't find it. I went out to my car, still couldn't find it. But then anyone who has an Apple phone will know that you can play a sound on a device. So I kind of was able to see, I could see on the AirTag whatever the stalker could see, I could see also on my phone. It was replicating on my phone. So I pressed play sound and it just, the sound started beeping from my car. But as I was in my car, it was kind of muffled. So when I stood outside my car, it was louder and I noticed that it was coming from underneath my car. And it was kind of at that moment that I realised, oh my God, someone's trying to like murder me. Someone's going to come here and like try kill me or something. So I panicked. I contacted Apple. Their customer service just was not helpful whatsoever. They were like, oh, well, sorry, like we can't disable it. And I was trying to explain, this was over text. So that's another thing. Like they only deal with people over text message. So I was texting and I was saying, this isn't my AirTag. Like I'm telling you now that this is not my Apple AirTag. Please disable it. And they were like, oh, we can't. Like we don't have the security features to do that. So I was obviously getting very upset, very irate and very nervous. They told me then to just ring the police. So they just basically like shunned me off to call the police. Rang the police. They said they'd have someone around the next morning. The police came the next morning. I hadn't slept. I was so like, I was just up all night. I was terrified. I was worried. So the next morning the police came and they were able to hear the sound and they wrote a report. And even the police, they obviously have had experience with this. Like, and he said, he was like, get that device out of your car. That's nothing. That's sinister. Like that's nothing good. Is like that's put there for something sinister. And I think when the policeman kind of validated me, that's when I got really, really afraid.
So Barry, Apple confirmed the existence of the AirTag underneath Áine O'Neill's car, but they couldn't disable the the device. So the police told her, get rid of the device, but they couldn't do anything because they couldn't find the device. So she knew someone was stalking her, but it seems that nothing could be done.
Yeah, exactly, Pat. So as we heard, Áine O'Neill contacted Apple about this. They confirmed the existence of the device, but they still couldn't disable it because she didn't own it. The police couldn't do anything because they couldn't find the device, but they told her she could take her car, or she should take her car to a garage and get the AirTag removed. So that's what Áine did. She brought her car to a garage, but the AirTag still couldn't be found, and she was told her car would need to be dismantled to find it. However, this was going to cost $7,000-$8,000, and Áine O'Neill says she did not have that kind of money to spend at the time. So she just stopped driving her car completely. And Áine told me, Pat, that it got to the stage where she was afraid to leave her home. She was afraid to go to work. And ultimately, she was forced to leave her career and life behind in the United States of America because of this.
This was on my car for like a month. I couldn't go to work. I couldn't meet friends. I wasn't going to classes, acting classes, yoga classes. I did breathwork classes. I used to do acting in the park. I was part of like an acting group. I was in screenwriting classes doing all of this, like very active in LA, because I guess that's what I went there for. But I literally just turned into like a shell of a person. I literally didn't like leave my house for the month.
So a stalker had placed this device in your car, but you still couldn't find it in your car?
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, wherever they stuck it in my car, like, it was... I brought it to a couple of garages after this had happened and after I spoke to the police. But every garage I brought it to was, like, they could hear it, they knew it was there, but they were like, unless you let us take the whole car apart, because they're so small. And again, they just have experience with these things over there, which is so random that, like, nobody was shocked. Like, it was kind of almost like, you know, well, this happens. You're a woman in America. And like, even the mechanics and stuff were like, well, look, if you can, you know, if you let us take apart the whole car, but that's going to cost then like $7,000 or $8,000 to take your whole car apart and put it back together. And I was like, oh my God. So, and it was just ruining my life at this stage. And I never found it. Like, and still to this day, like, I don't know who owned that, because Apple would possibly have the information, but they never gave it to me. They couldn't disable it for me. So I spent like a month like hiding for like a month, like just hiding out, like wouldn't leave my house. If I was leaving my house, it was with a friend, wouldn't go into my car. And all throughout the month of like November, December that this was happening, the notifications kept coming up on my phone at random times of the middle of the day, middle of the night. Like, they were just turning it on to see where I was and what I was doing. So that was, I think, the scariest part of it.
And eventually this forced you to leave America?
Yeah. God, I had no choice. Like, and when I think back to it, it's like I left. I was living there. I had such a great life. I was like saving to buy a house. I was like working really hard in my career. I was getting really good roles and getting really good auditions. And living just like, I guess, the dream, like, you know, that was, well, my dream anyway at the time. And then, yeah, I just had to leave. Like, it was just so, so sad. And I'm still only now getting over it, if I'm being honest. And only now can I speak about it, because even when I first came home to Ireland, I couldn't tell any of my family. I didn't want to worry them. I was terrified. I couldn't make sense of it. It was like my whole life had just been like taken away from me. And I guess like my mental health was really, really suffering, and I was just not in a really good place at all. So I had to leave America, and I remember getting onto the Aer Lingus flight, and it was, I told everyone I was coming home for Christmas, but I wasn't. I was actually like, I knew I just had to leave America, like, because this had been going on for about a month at this point. And I left, and I got onto the Aer Lingus flight, and I remember I was just like crying, and I just like cried like the whole time home. Like,
how scary was it to know that someone had placed this Apple AirTag on your car, but yet it couldn't be disabled, and you couldn't really drive your car then because there was a stalker who knew your every movement?
Like, that's the biggest thing, and I think that's why now I want to speak out about it, because this, like, control of my life was literally taken away from me. Like, I was literally living in fear of what could happen.
Now, Barry, Apple tried to dismiss the lawsuit, but they failed.
Yeah, Pat. So Apple attempted to dismiss this, like you say. They tried to dismiss the litigation in a filing last year. And Apple argued that they took proactive steps to try to deter misuse. and that it should not bear liability for injuries caused by third parties. However, the San Francisco-based US district judge dismissed that motion, and Anya O'Neill and two other plaintiffs are proceeding for negligence and strict product liability under California law. And all three of these cases involve purported defects of air tags that made it harder for the victims to both understand the tracking and quickly stop it, including unclear or delayed notifications, as well as an inability to disable the devices remotely, which allegedly prolonged their stalking. And Pat, for Anya O'Neill, she says this is not about compensation. She says she just wants Apple to change the security features in AirTags so that stalkers cannot use them.
Like, I was literally living in fear of what could happen. Like, women live with that every day as it is anyway. We have to take precautions, like where we walk and where we go and what time of the day and who we talk to and don't smile too much and all these different things. So this was something that, like, I take them precautions anyway, just as a woman, like, living in the world. So then for that to be taken away from you by obviously someone that wants to cause you harm in some way or control you or has, like, something malicious set out for you. And then for the company that, like, has these Apple AirTags or has these smart tags, for them to not be able to do anything or disable it the minute someone is... Like, I was actually contacting them and I was like, I do not own this AirTag. This is not my AirTag. This person is following my location. Please disable this. And that they're saying no because they do not have the security features. Like, how does something like that even get to be put on the market in the first place?
It seems like that as well, because you would think Apple would be thinking, yeah, we better disable this because it's not really good publicity if stalkers are using our devices.
Of course. And, like, that's the thing. Like, I would love to know, like, who was in that room when this device was created? Like, and I think now what's happening with the case is that's the answers we want. Like, who, when this was created and they were going to roll this out, was there no woman at the top table that said, oh, guys, can I just, throw in my little 5 cents here? Because women are already in danger just by being on the earth. Have we security features in place to make sure that if someone is using this maliciously, that we can disable this? And that's my issue. Like, that's the problem here. And as far as I know, Apple have still not rolled that out yet.
Were you shocked at how easily these sort of GPS devices can be used by stalkers?
Oh my God, yeah. And also just how your life can just be taken, because that's what it feels like your life can just be, like, taken away from you for someone that is, like I said, possibly has malicious intent towards you or wants to harm you or wants to get access to you. And it's just so scary to think that this is now a new product. It's, like I said, it's massive in America. Nobody in Ireland really has them, but they're starting to, like, sell here. People are starting to buy them. They put them on in suitcases for travel. They put them on their phones. Like, these are going to... This is now a thing. So now this is a new thing that women have to worry about. And the security features aren't in place by the companies that make these. That's the problem.
Now, finally, Barry, what does the US attorney who's representing the plaintiffs hope to achieve with the lawsuit? And have you been in contact with Apple about all of this?
Okay, well, firstly, Pat, Gillian Wade is one of the two US attorneys representing the plaintiffs, and I spoke to her last night, and she told me that the core allegation in the complaint is that AirTags are not safe and they absolutely can be used against anyone if they get into a stalker's hands. Gillian Wade also told me that AirTags pose a danger the moment that a stalker gains access to the product. And the safety features that Apple has rolled out for the AirTags only serve to alert victims once they have been stalked. And she says nothing Apple has done as of yet prevents stalking, and this flaw is critical. She says also abusive and dangerous location tracking is only becoming more common. And Gillian Wade also said that the lawsuit wants Apple to be held accountable for the role they have played in enabling stalkers and abusers to prey upon their clients, as well as countless other victims across the world. But she also said it is also of paramount importance to force meaningful, prospective change to these products in order to make them safer and ideally to prevent them from being used as tools of stalking in the first instance.
Yeah, it strikes me though, if someone sells you a baseball bat and you beat someone over the head with it, is the baseball manufacturer responsible? Gun manufacturers, are they responsible if someone misuses a weapon? It's a tricky area, I would think. Anyway, what about Apple?
Yeah, Pat, when I contacted Apple, they directed me to a statement on their website which states Apple has been working closely with various safety groups and law enforcement agencies, and they have identified even more ways they can update AirTag safety warnings and help guard against further unwanted tracking. But Pat, I think this lawsuit's going to go on for some time, and it'll be interesting to see what the final outcome is.
Barry White, our chief reporter, thank you very much.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.